clients coming in, you hit that rocky road, and it is okay to stumble. It's you know, we all stumble, we all fall. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's not about what you fall. It's about whether you got back up and dusted yourself off and carried on. It really is about that.
Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. This is the 10th episode in season one. Redefining yourself in every way, that's Vidya's business. As you will hear, she doesn't use the word business. Instead, she goes against the grain of the typical business model for the world of coaching, and she practices unmarketing. She doesn't bother with niches. Instead, she uses the idea of a donation box that you will find in Hindu temples in India when it comes to her work. Huh? What are you talking about, you might say to yourself? I'm talking about this week's guest, whom you'll absolutely love. She has such a BFF energy about her that in the end, you will definitely want to dance a tango with her. And she was guided to do a reading for you, which is at the very end of this episode. So let's put all my references into context with Vidya Ananthanarayanan, this week's Confident Healer. Welcome to The Confident Healer. Welcome back. Thanks for being here. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali. And today you are about to meet a very passionate soul who's, I think, is the life of the party. I think she would agree too. She is a life explorer, adventurer, and a multi-passionate possibilitarian who thrives on negotiating the twists and turns of this crazy adventure called life. She is a knowledge seeker, a funster, and her passion is empowering you to get unstuck, to illuminate that which is hidden from you, to ignite you into inspired action so that you feel confident in creating the life of your dreams from a position of self-awareness and empowerment. She is the life adventure guide, a spiritual doula, and transformational life coach. Her other hats include entrepreneur, school researcher, intuitive, and founder and chief of everything at Totally Vidya Life Coaching LLC. So please welcome with a big warm hug, Vidya Ananthanarayanan.
Perfect. Yay. Thank you. Well, it's great to be here. So thank you, Sharmila, for the opportunity to share whatever I can share, whatever insights I can provide and I did want to say it's a scholar researcher school is something I gave up last year. Okay. As in, after 9 years I released my PhD and said I'm done, I'm happy being an ABD, all but dissertation, and this is not the rabbit hole I want to explore anymore.
Okay. So. First, I want to ask you, how are you doing during this pandemic?
I've enjoyed it. For me, it has been... Now, first, let me caveat that because this can sound a little arrogant and egotistical.
Yeah, don't worry about it. No,
let me caveat it by saying that I am blessed and maybe even privileged in some ways to have a strong financial foundation right now. So it does not... for a few years now. So it does not require me to go out and get a job. And I'm not dealing with some of those more immediate survival kinds of challenges. I mean, sure, I have others, but not those. So that's a great blessing in my life right now. So for me, this pandemic has really been an opportunity to dig deep into, we were talking about this earlier. What do I really want to do? Like, am I really cut out to build even a business? Do I want to build a business? Or is it more about the entrepreneurship side? Get clarity, really build clarity around my vision and how I have changed, where I want to go moving forward. And because I'm a mystic and an intuitive and follow the spiritual breadcrumbs, so to speak, it has also given me the opportunity to really dig deep into my own personal growth and spiritual transformation. Mm-hmm. And sort of this feeling of I'm being primed, because when people emerge out of it, my job, as will be your job, as will be all the confident healers, and especially those of us who are in the Black, Indigenous, and people of color community, we are going to be the light showers and the light bringers and the light shifters and the light workers. So we're being primed and prepped is how I see it.
I think a lot of people, if you choose that, and I think a lot of people are seeing that part of themselves, that if they're not working, what does that mean? You know, because you're a lot of, you know, your self-worth is tied to what doing something, being productive, you know, and that can be really hard. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you have, I mean, it's not surprising you say that as someone who does what you do, all the healing work that you've done and continue to do. It doesn't surprise me that you feel good. And I just want to preface that, you know, it's so interesting because that we have to say a caveat, because why do we have to feel guilty? And, you know, when people ask me how, you know, I'm doing, I almost feel guilty. And people say that, like, you know, I was talking to my neighbor and they work at a restaurant. And she said, you know, she was like, I almost feel guilty because we're doing really well because they have a big patio. And I just, it's just, why do we have to feel guilty? But yes, we can recognize and speak to our privilege that we have. That we have financial security, or that we have, you know, a roof over our head. There are certain things, you know, that it's important to count your blessings, all of your blessings, no matter what you have or don't have.
Yes. So I would say it's not, at least for me, it wasn't coming from a place of guilt as much as, you know, really kind of ensuring that it is my mindset is exactly what you said, that I'm grateful. I'm deeply, deeply grateful for this blessing in my life right now. It could be so different as it is. And it enables me to be in that space of compassion, I think, where I can recognize that for somebody else.
Right.
You know, like, since we are talking about confidence, as I mean, this is the Confident Healer show, you know, it is, you know, there are those moments where your confidence can be rattled, especially if one is an entrepreneur, or, you know, one is sort of grappling with, yeah, entrepreneur, but I really, is it business? Is that what I'm wanting to do here? You know, those kinds of issues. And so I'll actually share a funny story around this. It does have something a little bit to do with human design, but we'll just caveat that part of it with, okay. But saying that there are specific channels in human design that activate your money flow. Mm. And 2017 to 2019, that particular channel was activated for me. So clients were just, they were just showing up. I didn't have to do a thing, you know? Oh. And so there was this beautiful flow of money and abundance. And I was like, yay. Like, this is so freaking easy, man. This is good. And then 2020 came and it ended. And I didn't realize it had ended because I wasn't really in tune with all of that at that moment. And I was like, what happened? Where did everybody go? Like, where are my clients? Like, and boom, my confidence got hit so bad. Hmm. In that moment, it was that space of, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to do? Hmm. Do I have to? And of course, the white noise of niche and avatar and this and that and whatever. So it does. It's even for those of us who at this stage of the life can feel empowered, can operate from a space of confidence and empowerment, we have our moments. It is, mm-hmm. It's very easy to come go sliding down that slippery slope. It's very, very easy to do that. And if you do, you do. And then you take stock and you say, hey, okay, that's what was happening. Don't have that channel anymore. Got to do it the hard way. And you got to back up the mountain. Like, okay, here we go again.
Yeah, I'm thank you for saying that because, you know, it's funny. One of my listeners had emailed me and said, you know, could you ask about like how people are doing with their business or practices during the pandemic. And I'm glad you said something about that. Yeah, that it can be, you know, confidence isn't always a straight line, just like life, you know, it has its ups and downs. And some days you feel really strong. You know, I think most days you can feel really strong. And sometimes it can dip. And And that's what we're here to talk about, to share these experiences that it does. It happens to everyone. You're not a bad person. You're not, it's not the, this is what you should be doing, you know?
And it's, you know, and for me personally, maybe this comes from being a 1-3, I don't know, but it's not, you're not a failure. I think it's so, because again, you talked about how so much of our sense of self-worth and that empowers our confidence in so many ways, right? Comes from productivity. I'm a productive human being and this is my output. We're gauged on our output. And if there is no output, if there are no clients coming in,
right.
You hit that rocky road, and it is okay to stumble. It's you know, we all stumble, we all fall. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's not about what you fall. It's about whether you got back up and dusted yourself off and carried on. It really is about that.
Yeah. So you were what did you call that? ABD, all about what? What did you?
All but dissertation.
All but dissertation. So you were pursuing a PhD. And then you transitioned into the healing work that you're doing. No? How did that tell us
quite.
That?
So, so I mean, I commenced my PhD in 2010. And at that time, and I've been working.
In what?
It's a PhD in education with a specialization, or it would have been a PhD in education with a specialization in international education and entrepreneurship.
Oh, wow.
So very aligned. Very aligned. But I had to also have to probably kind of share this bit because I'm pretty eclectic and interdisciplinary. So just to give you I was supposed to say readers because I'm a journalist, but no, your audience, a bit of an inside context here. My undergraduate degree is in economics. My master's is in digital media. And the PhD would have been in education. And my professional adventures encompass very, very broadly. It's I would say media, both print, online, social, digital, all of that, education and information and communication technology, so instructional technology, and with a little bit of entrepreneurship and whatnot thrown in. So it's pretty interdisciplinary and eclectic in that sense.
So did you do that all in the States?
I was born and raised in India.
And when did you,
I came to the US in 1999. So I came for my master's, and that was the master's in digital media. So that's what I came for. By that time, I'd already had about 2.5 years under my belt doing website development, content creation, front-end coding, that kind of stuff. So I'd already transitioned to digital media by the time I came here to pursue a master's in digital media. But to go back to this, so just the story of my life, when I made the decision to pursue a PhD, I had worked in academia for about a decade by then, including my master's degree and my graduate assistantship and all of that. So the idea then was to continue and to have a career in academia. And of course, you know how academia is. If you don't have a PhD, you know how it goes. Yeah. And I enjoyed coursework. And then we got into dissertation. And as I began to pursue the dissertation, and we talked about this briefly, about 2016 being a landmark year. And I really feel like it was a landmark year for many of us who stepped into this space of conscious evolution and we were awakened. You know, we all experienced our awakening. But my journey began in 2015. That's really when the call to adventure came. My hero's journey began then. But 2016 was a landmark year, and it was really the year when I sat down and realized that I did not want a career anymore. I didn't want a 9-to-5 job. I didn't want to retire. I wanted to do something that was meaningful and purposeful and gave me the opportunity to give back to life the way life had given to me. Mm. And, so what really happened was that I transitioned. And the second part of this story is that I didn't become a life coach. It was more that everybody said, you've always been one. Right. Why aren't you doing this full time? It's something you've been, it's like something you've been the life adventure guide all your life. Right from my teenage years, I've always been the mentor, the person, the go-to gal. So this was just a phase of going back to school. I got certified because that was a way for me to go to school and learn tools and techniques and best practices to hone my craft. Because I was finally seeing it as a craft. So it was sort of simultaneous with the PhD. Wow. So I was still in the process of working on the PhD, and that brings me confidence. I was not confident about releasing it. I was not trusting my intuition. I was not trusting my instinct. I was not trusting anything that was screaming at me saying, you're done. This is not for you anymore. This is the path you have to go down. So here I am trying to straddle two boats and driving myself cray-cray in the process. But that's how it happened. And so eventually 2019 was when I was finally able to fully come to terms that, no, that's not the path for me anymore. And
right.
The door on that, because someday when I'm 80 years old, I will go back and get myself a PhD.
Yes. So you can be AD, all dissertation.
Yeah, it will be a PhD at that point. Who knows? 80 is a long way off. Come on, you know, way, way too much in the future.
I think what I find interesting is when I, you know, hear people talk about confidence, and, you know, there's so many books written about it and so many different places where you can go to learn to build your confidence, and programs, that's what I'm speaking of, programs to learn to build your confidence, is that I think people think it's like an overnight thing. I think when people present when they present themselves, which is fine, you know, it's not something, you know, people dive into go into depth about, but it can be an overnight, like, you know, one day you don't feel confident, somebody says something, you're like, I'm going to do this, I feel really good about it, for a lot of people it is a process, for you it was over some time to really trust that, okay, this is what I want to do, because you had been in academia, you've been working, you committed to, you know, time and money, lots of energy to pursuing a PhD, and then realizing that I don't want to do this. So it takes some time to, yeah, because you can straddle that, and you know, you're just in your head, right? Do I do this? Do that? No, but I got to do this. But you've done this. But this is the unknown. You know, just like I said, going back and forth. And I think that's just really important for people to know that, yeah, man, sometimes this shit just takes time. It just takes time. And all you can do is just breathe through it and explore it. And, you know, and that can be painful, because, you know, you also, maybe you quit that, what you were doing previously, and not having the income. I think that's when the panic starts to come in, because it's like, where's the money going to come from? How am I going to pay my house bill and my grocery bill, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other is, you know, you talked about how much, you know, all this material that's available to us. I mean, we live in an information rich world now. You know, and when I think back to my childhood and perhaps your childhood too, we didn't have this many sources of information. Maybe there was a TV, there was a radio, and we had people, you know, and oftentimes they, you know, especially in the Indian culture, God, we are so good at guilting, aren't we? Like, the Indian culture is so freaking good at guilting us into doing something. It's so ingrained in us, you know, duty and obligation and all of that stuff. And sometimes you lose touch with yourself in the process. And I really feel like confidence. So two things, when I think of confidence, and I was contemplating this morning, some of it comes from, it's related to ability, our ability to do something. So we talked about, you know, a little bit about the fact that I don't really think of myself as a healer. When you reached out to me, the first thing I said was, but I'm not a healer. I don't do Reiki, and I don't do, you know, Qigong and pranic healing, or, you know, any tapping or any of those things. I don't. And yet consistently for the last 2 years, my guides have been screaming in my head and going, healer, 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 healer. You're a freaking healer. Why won't you hear us? And it's because I didn't have confidence in my ability. I wasn't seeing, I was locked mentally into my own paradigm, into that mental trap I had created, or mental contract, that healing means one is a doctor, one is a Reiki practitioner, one is a Qigong practitioner, a pranic healer, or whatever. And so I didn't have confidence. Confidence to me is related to ability in some ways, in the sense that we feel confident when we are very sure of our skill sets or our ability to do something. I was talking about, you know, my own lack of confidence in being a healer, and how when you said, oh, I want you to be on this, and I'm like, me, a healer? I'm not a healer.
I know. I was like, wait, you do all these things. That's healing work. Yeah. Yeah.
See, and so that in itself, right, is perception. So here's another interesting thing. So it's not only is it confidence related to our it's related to our perception of our abilities, mm-hmm. but it is also related to our perception of what we think a certain thing is, or in this case, healing is. My perception of healing was, it's not is anymore, was that it, you know, once a doctor or once a Reiki practitioner, or you know, there was a modality associated mm-hmm. with it. I it never even occurred to me to think of myself as a healer, because all I do is talk. Like I'm listening and I'm talking, right? Like if I'm on an interview like this, I'm sharing my insights, or if I'm doing my own live, then I'm sharing my insights. And if I'm with a client, then it's very deeply focused, active listening, because my job is to guide them. It's not about me.
Right.
So I never thought of that as healing mm-hmm. ever. Well, of course, then human design, again, there are aspects of human design that resonated and sort of brought it into my awareness. And then when people began to really talk about sort of the therapeutic nature of those conversations, then it began to sink in. So like you were saying, yes, it can't, you know, we talk about building confidence. Not, you know, it's not just about gaining, it's about building. And Rome wasn't built in a day. Nothing's built
right,
in a day.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the other thing, because you're mentioning Indian guilt, was that, I mean, you were well into your adulthood, but, you know, sometimes telling our family can be another thing. So was that difficult? How was that for you to tell them, like, okay, this is what I'm doing, your parents or your parents
are? Well, so I have, again, blessing, privilege, whatever we choose to call it. I always joke, I was born and raised in India. And so for people who are not familiar with the educational system in India, we have a very structured form of education, right? Everybody studies the same thing all the way up until they graduate, whether it's, you know, schooling or college. But I had a very liberal arts upbringing. Oh. So I was very much, so I joke that I had an Indian education, a formal education, but a liberal arts upbringing, where we were taught to think critically. And I remember reading novels my parents were reading when I was about 14. I was reading Neville Shute at 14 or Somerset Maugham at 14. And my parents would say, well, then let's talk about this character. And what does the character mean? And things like that. So we had these deep discussions. Additionally, my father was very much influenced by Jay Krishnamurti. So his entire parenting style was Jay Krishnamurti, very much the guide on the side. He was not the authoritative parent at all. My father is actually, I joke that my father is the first feminist I ever met.
Oh.
Because he's the one who told me, don't ever let being a girl stop you from doing
it. Wow, that's something you don't hear from that part of the world. No.
So very progressive. Both my parents were very progressive for their time. You know, and so that nurturing, you know, some of it I would say was innate, but there's always been that encouragement and support of follow your heart, follow what you want to do. In fact, again, another funny story, and, you know, mom is a little bit more, I'm not so sure about this, you know, but, when I was about 25, I hit a point where I needed time out, and I just walked away from my job. I'd recently gotten divorced, and just so everything, I just needed space to clear my head. And I upped and quit. I said, I'm done. And I did tell my parents, I'm upping and quitting. My mother was, wait, for how long? And how will you live? And how will you survive? And how will you blah, 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 blah. And my dad goes, take the time you need. And if you need financial support, we are here. Boom. That's all I needed. And so it's confidence. Again, confidence. So confidence also comes when you have this support system. Mm-hmm. You have someone with unshakable belief in you. When someone says, I am here for you. Go do your thing.
Yes.
This is what you need right now. Then go do your thing. And that too is empowering. And that provides the confidence, the ability to step into the unknown and just kind of go, okay, I need to go clear my head. So, you know, so in the case of my parents, to answer your question, my family, very, very progressive family, never, ever, I have to honestly say that my parents and my family have handled this weird, wackadoodle, quirky person with far more grace than I probably should not have complained as much as I did in my misbegotten youth.
Well, that's okay. But, you know,
that's why we call it the misbegotten youth. Yeah, it you know, part of adolescence and young adulthood is that we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. So that you're... That's a typical teenager.
Yeah.
You do your business online. And so that means that you're not really in your community, like giving talks about.
Well, not at the moment. Okay. Before the pandemic, yes, there were opportunities to, you know, in fact, just last year. So again, thank you, because this is one of my funnest experiences ever and something I didn't anticipate. And again, back to that confidence boosting awareness of, oh, this is what it means to be a healer. So it really connected me to that. I had the opportunity to participate as a vendor at a holistic healing fair last mm-hmm. year. This is 2020, right?
Yes. Yes. 2019. I think so.
Well, I know. I don't like which quantity, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, days, years, time blurs. It's just like taffy, it expands and contracts. But I had a booth, I had a vendor, and just that opportunity for a whole day to have people come up and interact. And I was doing single card readings. Oh my God, I had so much fun doing those. And I just pull out a card and read it. It was like literally on the spot laser focused coaching, using these cards as a cognitive tool. And then they went home with the card. And that was the best. They got the card as a gift.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they took it. Even the tarot readers there started coming over to me because they got a card from me. But it was that moment when I came back home completely amped up.
Oh, good.
I was just like, this is what I love to do. Mm. This it is not about the money. It's not about being, you know, it was really such an awareness of, this is my life's work. This is my mission. This is my, you know, this is what I was born to do.
Mm.
It's I didn't become... And a lot of people become, I do feel this, there's a difference between saying, I want to become a seven-figure life coach.
Right.
A vastly different mindset from, I was born to be the life adventure guide and spiritual doula. Mm. This is what I'm here to do. I'm here in service of conscious evolution.
Mm.
Whole different ballgame.
Yes, yes.
Right? And but I miss that. I miss that so much.
The
personal interaction. Personal interaction. You're a projector. I'm a projector. Yes. It's the one-to-one. It's the opportunity.
That's why this helps doing it virtually, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you, so what I'm hearing is that you are deeply connected to why you're doing this. And and that is something that can, that you should always be connected to, because I feel like that will fuel your growth forward. That's motivating. And it's also builds your confidence, right? And when I'm saying connected to you, like you deeply know why you're doing this.
Yes. And it can be, and this absolutely, like the why, if your why is I want to build a seven-figure coaching business, perfect. That's your why.
Right.
Your why is, no, I was born to do this and I have to figure out a way to make a living another way. That's okay. Right, but we do have to find a way to make a living. Some, you know, just if that's the circumstances of our life. But yes, Simon Sinek says this. I mean, it begins with the why, and we've said this in the academic circles a long time. We say before the what and the how, and how is a whole other thing. I mean, I'm the first person who says release the dreaded hows.
Oh my gosh, right? Yes,
right. Release the how, but even before the what and the where and the when. Is the why.
Why are you doing this?
Why are you doing this? And you're exactly right. I mean, part of my challenges and my struggles and my dams with the demon of low self-confidence in these past 3 years since I established my LLC I'll be candid. I've been an entrepreneur all my life. My first entrepreneurial adventure was when I was five and a half years old, probably. And it was, and this, I love the story about me. I decided that my brother, who was turning 1 year old, needed to have a birthday party. So I was the one. So there, I had the vision, entrepreneur, ooh, birthday party. This is what it's going to look like. Went out and did the marketing, invited all the kids in my neighborhood. And then I was really smart. So I was a really smart kid. What happened to me? I came home and I found someone to execute my vision, otherwise known as my mother.
Right.
He's having a birthday party. I've called everybody. They'll be here at 4 p.m. or whatever it was. Now make it happen. Done. That's what an entrepreneur does, right? Potential, right. Possibility, and then says, who can I hand it off to? And I'm off to the next adventure. Right. And so for me, the challenge in these three years in the space of confidence is I had no confidence in my ability to build a business. Mm. None. Plus, my mother had started a desktop publishing business. And then I was in college and that failed.
Mm.
And so my maternal line is actually pretty entrepreneurial. My grandmother she taught Veena on the side and, you know, did a little business selling, you know, leftover buttermilk and things like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're a pretty musical family. We have seven instruments. I learned to play the sitar for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're a pretty musical family. But it's that space. I had no confidence in my ability to build a business. So what did I do? I did everything people who have no confidence do. I sunk tons of money into courses.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there was a lot of information and data, but none of them really boosted my confidence.
Mm.
Not until until I began to notice, this person signed up and it was that easy. Like my favorite client recruitment story is I had met this wonderful lady, one of my favorite clients ever. She at a luncheon party for a friend. And we just got talking, told her what I do, life adventure guide, all of that. And over the weekend, I get an email that said, hey, I'm ready to do this. What are the next steps? That was it. It was that easy. I had to do nothing. And then when we got on the discovery call, because that's usually the first step, it is important to me that we assess fit. It is really important, right? And so we got on the discovery call. We wrapped up the discovery call. And of course, you know, I said, okay, here we are. And she said, how much do I pay you? I hadn't even told her how much.
Right.
And she didn't even say how much I paid you. She said, how do I pay you?
Oh, right. Nice. Okay.
And I went completely silent. And she was like, are you there? And I was like, yeah, I'm picking up my jaw from the floor because nobody's ever said that to me. But when that happens, you know you're in flow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a confidence booster. When it's that easy. So to me, all of these have to do with confidence. When it's easy, when it's effortless, when it feels aligned, when the people see you and say, yes, this is, go ahead and do this. This is what you were meant to do. That support system is there. It is important, I believe, to have people who affirm you and celebrate you. That also boosts our confidence. But it is a journey. It is a path. And it begins with the why. If we don't know our why, the what and the how don't even matter.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's very hard to motivate yourself to do anything when you're not connecting to why you're doing what you're doing, the deepest why. And so for you, you know, so getting into the bones of, you know, putting yourself out there and, you know, I guess you obviously had a website so somebody could find you. And for you, building your confidence was just kind of seeing the results. But how did you initially get that person to you? Was it because you had a website, you put an ad up, it just happened somehow?
Well, in the story I just shared, it was a conversation at a lunch, at a birthday lunch, but at a friend's birthday lunch, just happened to be sitting next to me and we exchanged information. I've had, when I first got certified, I did do a little Facebook post that said, hey, you know, and then again, primarily because people know me as a geek and instructional tech. So it was more of a, hey, I'm stepping into this new adventure and blah, blah, blah. And if you want to know what it's about. So I had, you know, some people reach out and then we, again, the discovery call. And then they signed up if they had value, they saw value in that. So it's, I will be honest and say that I have staunchly resisted conventional business practices and tactics. They have the other thing. All these people teach you tactics. They are not teaching you strategy. Two very different things. So 5 steps to become a six-figure coach in 6 months or whatever is a tactic. It's not a strategy. And if you don't know your why, then you don't know your strategy. And if you don't know your strategy, then you can't create tactics that are aligned to you. That is another process. And that's also taken me time. And it's really now, I really feel like now I'm probably readier to I've actually let go of the, it's not even a business. I don't even use the word business anymore because I'm not driven. Again, I'm not driven to be a seven-figure, six-figure, heck, even a five-figure business coach. It's not about the business. But I am open. I've opened myself to receive, to this. Okay, I have to go be a little Indian here. You know how in our temples, the donation box has all those different slots? Right? So multiple people can put in at the same time. I'm a Renaissance soul. I don't do just one thing. So for me, this is one slot in that donation box that I've opened up to the universe and said, hey, I'm open to money coming in this way. And I'm open to money coming in from doing, you know, I'd love to take somebody on Get Adventurized, which is my longstanding program, you know, the bigger, deeper dive. But I also am open to having someone show up and saying, hey, can we go? Do you do Jinky readings? You betcha I do. Let's do that. And I take them on an intuition activation adventure focused on Jinkies. Someone might come and say, I'd like to get a reading. Okay, let's do that. I let go of the shape and form.
Right. Because I just want to clarify. So for people that don't know, there's a model where you create a program and to kind of maximize your time so you don't get burned out. And so you just do all the things that you do, but you can do it in this particular program, something that you're teaching, something that you're, some service that you're providing, and people are working with you for like 6 to 12 months at a time. You know, it's a very deep commitment, a very deep dive. So that's what Vidya is talking about. So she's also not just limiting herself to that, but also like, okay, yeah, you want to do a one-off reading, you want to do this, you know, is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. It really, why? My why is I'm here to serve and support you in your conscious evolution. It's not about me. You want to dance the tango? I'll dance the tango with you. You want to dance a tango with me for 3 months? I'll dance a tango with you for 3 months. No problem. You want to dance it for a year? I'll dance it for a year. You want to dance it for 6 months? I'll dance it for six months. And then along comes someone and says, I don't want to do the tango. I just want to do a jive and I want to do it for an hour and a half. Okay. We'll do the jive for an hour and a half. It doesn't matter because what really matters is that I'm available to be of support and service. Right. In your conscious evolution. And you are where you are in your journey. And I think that's why I staunchly resisted and was not able to apply, to adopt any of the traditional conventional business practices in the sense of hustle and do the marketing and put yourself out there every day and create the content and identify your client avatar and what is your freaking niche. I don't know. I don't care. I don't care what they do. I don't care who they are. They can be a doctor, a mother, an empty nester, a dink. I don't care. All I care is that you are ready. I want three things. You're ready to go on this quest of inner discovery, of self-discovery. You're willing to go on this quest of self-discovery and you're committed to going on this quest of self-discovery. And by commitment, I mean everything.
Right.
Time, money, you have to invest.
Yeah.
But if you are that, I'll dance with you.
Mm-hmm. I have also worked with a couple of different business coaches and followed different ones. And that's exactly the opposite of what you're saying. And they're like, don't do that. And it's interesting, and this kind of segues into the human design piece, because I feel like, you know, just kind of honoring who you are. And, you know, we'll get into human design, but I wanted to just say something about, so when you're, or ask you about when you are, you know, whatever you want to call getting your putting marketing or so you're not really.
But I'm unmarketing.
You're unmarketing. So what is unmarketing for you? How do people find out about who you are and what you do? And
right here, right now, this is unmarketing.
Okay.
You invited me to be on this podcast. Speaking of human design, we can explain this later, but I got seen, I got recognized, I got invited.
Okay.
That simple. To me, what is marketing? Marketing is not advertising and marketing is not sales. Marketing is communication. Marketing is information. It says, hey.
She's breaking it down, folks. I love it.
Well, that's the educator in me, you know, like lecturing away to the classroom here.
All about the dissertation. Listen up, folks. Yes, right. This is good because I never thought of it as information. But yes, go ahead. So marketing is...
So someone we don't think of very much in terms of marketing, but to me is my hero when it comes to marketing is Steve Jobs.
Okay. Yeah.
We think of Steve Jobs as a visionary and the person who gave us the iMac and all of these things, but think of the 1984 ad. It was shown once during the Super Bowl. It never aired again. We can see it on the web now, but it never aired again. And that ad was not about the Apple. And, you know, yeah, there was a little thing, but what did that ad do? It evoked an emotion. I had all these little drony kind of workers, and along comes this Russian. She was a Russian hammer thrower. So he found this blonde Valkyrie showing up in red, that pop of color, who swings this hammer at the screen and shatters it into pieces. And your mind is blown. Nothing. He did nothing. He didn't sell you a single thing there, but man, he communicated. That ad got to us, right? It evoked something in us. Nike, just do it. Think different. The crazy ones. When you think of the ads that really grab our attention, those are the ads that grab our attention. They're not selling. They're saying, hey, this is what I'm about. Are you interested? If you're interested, then come find out more about me. So to me, it is about, so when I'm just doing this, when I'm doing one of my live readings, which is currently every day, Monday to Friday, it's a commitment and it's a challenge I've set myself. To me, that is unmarketing because there is no agenda here. The only agenda is I'm doing something that is fun and joyful and I absolutely love doing. I love interacting with people. Why would I not do it?
Right.
I love reading cards. Why would I not do it? To me, that is marketing because we're communicating who we are from a place of authenticity. And I think that is something Steve Jobs did very well. There was no mistaking the Apple brand. Absolutely. You cannot mistake the Apple brand. It's very, very clear. That is unmarketing.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely have... struggled with, you know, okay, do I just offer this one thing? And what about people that just don't want to invest all that time and money? They just want to come in for, you know, for just a one-off session. And I've just been like, it's been struggling. And it wasn't a struggle before I started working with different coaches.
So I'm being told to pull a card.
Oh my God. I have just been like, I gotta tell her. I was like, "Are you gonna pick a card?" Yes.
So. Oh yes, we are. So for purposes of the people who cannot see us right now, because it's a podcast, I am using the Soul Coaching deck by Denise Lin. She's one of my favorites, and I picked. I say I picked, but really I was guided to this because with these set of cards, the visual doesn't really matter; the words matter. So, Fridays are Friday fun. So the card I am pulling, even though you'll probably listen to this on a Monday, that's when you broadcast it?
I will, they'll be released on, these are released on a Monday.
On a Monday. So you'll be releasing it on a Monday. So here it is. Here's some Friday fun leading up to your magic Monday. There you go. And so just know, this is something I do like to say about whenever you hear, because she may release it on a Monday and you may be hearing it on Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever. Whenever you really hear this and whenever you tune into this card is absolutely the right time for you. That's all that matters. It's reaching you when it's supposed to reach you. And the card I pulled was, it's really interesting. This card is beauty.
Want to show it? Because I will have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can show it, and I can send you a picture if you want that.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And it says, I am deeply and profoundly beautiful. And what a great message for confidence. Yeah. Because when we feel confident deep within us, it comes from that place of inside out empowerment and being who we are and being grounded and anchored in who we are and how we are and what we are and why we are in those times when we are deeply and profoundly beautiful. We just are deeply and profoundly beautiful. It's not external, it's internal.
Yes.
When our inside light shines, that's when we become deeply and profoundly beautiful.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Wow, what a beautiful message. Thank you for, I'm so glad that you were guided to pull that card. It's a beautiful message.
And I listen.
That's exactly, you were listening. And so any parting words to our audience about confidence and for healers, or
you know, the biggest, it's really the lesson I really sort of, it's not something I don't think in terms of affirmations, but I think it is something that I lean into when I feel my confidence withering or dissolving, and it's a simple phrase: just do you. It's just do you. That's all that matters in this world. Just do you. Now, that is not permission to lash out at people, to be unkind, or no, that's not just do you.
Right.
You know, just do you, but just do you in that space of compassion, of authenticity, of thoughtfulness, of kindness, you know, gentleness, patience, all of those higher joy, fun, laughter, play, happiness. Just do you. That's the biggest thing I've learned about boosting my self-confidence and my things. Like when I'm just doing myself, and be discerning. This is, I think, the second thing. Be discerning, because I realized that when I engage or I disengage, let me put it that way, when I disengage from those relationships that do not give me the space to be me and do me, then I invite in and I call and I create space to call in the people, places, events, and opportunities who do enable and empower me to be me and do me. So that's another thing. So be discerning about these relationships. If someone is giving you pushback and saying, no, you shouldn't be that way, or tone it down, or tone down your light, that is not an aligned relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yes. Thank you for saying that. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you for your time on this fun Friday, the Funster. You are definitely, I just have enjoyed your energy and how vibrant you are. And thank you for choosing this path and being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for helping me to come to a little bit more comfortable, become a little bit more comfortable with this identity of being a person of color. That is not something. Yes, because I wasn't born and raised in this country.
Right.
So color to me, you know, just because of my Indian background, it was always more about my sex, right? I was a woman and or a female. So it was a different thing. Yes, there was colonial hangover. We won't even talk about that. Color played a role. But it's now I'm really now beginning to really see how I'm perceived as a person of color by others, and how that's okay. I don't have to buy into it if it's not calling to me just yet. It may call into it, but it's not something I need to be uncomfortable about either. So I'm settling in that. I'm integrating that too into this identity that is becoming mine and mine own. And that's another layer of that identity as well.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity to be part of this platform, really, and to encourage more of us to really speak up into this community and bring our gifts alive. And really, I mean, I'm just going to say, this is a clarion call to action for all of us who are healers and light workers and light shifters and light showers and light bringers. Lucifers, as I like to say. We are. And Lucifer actually means bringer of light. It refers to the morning star or Venus. Mm. It has nothing to do with angels at all. It was actually the name of an ancient Babylonian king whose head was so swelled up with arrogance, he thought himself equal to the gods, and therefore he was cast down from the heavens.
Ah, okay.
It has nothing to do with an angel. We're all little Lucifers.
Right.
And it's time for us to bring our torches up front and yes. get this out on the road and really, really help the collective raise its conscious evolution.
Absolutely. So thank you. Yeah. So you can get in touch with Vidya. And I'll have this all in the show notes and all the things that I talked about. So there are four ways you can contact Vidya. Her email, info@totallyvidya.net. And it is spelled totally. And her name is spelled V as in Victor, I, D as in dog, YA.net. info@totallyvidya.net. And then her website is totallyvidya.net. And you can reach her on Facebook under Life Adventure Guide and on Instagram, Totally Vidya. So thank you again for being here and joining me today. Let's give her a big warm hug goodbye. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
This was a blast. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
Want to know more about how to contact my guest? Then go to theconfidenthealer.net. This is also the best place to listen to the podcast. And while you're there, click subscribe to rate the show. Let's get those algorithms working to get this podcast to the masses. Thanks for listening and see you next time.